Raider Nation, welcome to Down With The Ship. I'm your host, Maddie Mayhem, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Sean Carnage.
What's up, yo?
And today we have a special guest on the podcast, and that is our younger brother. We call him Anarchy Marky. Say what's up, Mark.
What's up, you guys? Glad to be here. Glad to be part of the crew.
As you guys know, this is our 10th episode of Down With The Ship, which, you know, we're really proud that we've reached 10 episodes. You guys have tuned in and subscribed, and we appreciate each and every one of you. Today is July 5th, but this is going to be our unofficial 4th of July episode. 4th of July, of course, we all celebrated yesterday over here at Mom's. And I mean, it was nice to get together with the family and, you know, celebrate the country and blow shit up, as we always do.
Oh, yeah.
4th of July. But another thing that makes the 4th of July so significant is it was Al Davis's birthday. Al Davis, of course, the patriarch of the Raiders organization. There would be no Raiders without Al Davis. A significant figure, and not just in the Raiders, but in the NFL organization, constantly going after the NFL and suing them and breaking down barriers. Al Davis, known for, you know, obviously being a very active in the civil rights movement. He was the first NFL owner to hire an African-American head coach, Art Shell. He was the second to hire a Latino head coach in Tom Flores. He hired the first female executive with Amy Trask. Cheers to Al Davis for being just a giant in the whole NFL. I mean, obviously, you know, Al Davis was originally part of the AFL.
Yeah.
And did you guys know that he started his coaching career with the Chargers? I think he was their receivers coach, if I'm not mistaken, before he kind of broke away to start the Raiders.
Yeah, we all got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Do you guys know what the Raiders originally were called? Like their first mascot?
The Seniors?
Yeah, it was the Seniors, dude. How cool is that?
Good one. Hey, Anarchy Marky stepping up to the plate already. I love it.
Yep.
The Seniors. Hey, you know, a lot of that civil rights stuff is what makes me proud to be a Raider too. You know what I mean? And I think with that being the foundation of the franchise, that's a big reason why with the John Gruden comments, he could not stay.
No.
There was no way that we were founded on, you know, just, you know, equal rights for everybody and then having our head coach and those comments come out and it's just like he had to go, you know, and I'm glad he did, you know. I mean, whether he meant it or not, it was almost like he just didn't think he was going to get caught.
Well, and I would say that Mark Davis, for all of his shortcomings, you know, including his hair.
His bangs.
Including his hair. But despite his shortcomings, he went out and he bought the Aces, you know, a women's basketball team. Yeah. And that's, I mean, that's huge. It's just further legitimizing women's basketball, which I think is fantastic. And, you know, he wants to do right by them. And so I don't know. I think he's kind of following his dad's footsteps.
Our team president, you know, is an African-American woman. So, I mean, there you go. He's keeping it going. I love it.
Yep, that's great.
But yeah, happy birthday, Al Davis.
Yeah, cheers to Al Davis. Cheers to Al Davis. So, in today's episode, we are going to kind of, and again, we're in the dead period of football, you know, obviously with no draft, no free agency, and training camp doesn't start till the end of July. There's not too much to talk about.
We still got Hunter Renfrow.
Here we have Hunter Renfrow. We have the Josh Jacobs situation. You know, it seems like we're in that long, long desert until we can get some football again. I'm dying. I'm definitely
ready. We'll be here before we know it, though.
It's coming.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it is.
Was it a preseason next month?
Yeah.
No, it's crazy. Dude, I'm stoked. Which means we've got to do the fantasy draft, too. That'll be in, I think, August. Although I think we did it in September last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you got to wait for those cuts to be made.
Yeah, those cuts and any late injuries that might happen.
A lot of free agents still out there, too. I mean, we keep talking about it, but, you know, I mean, this is the time you'll see them get signed before the start of, you know, like when teams start getting back together, you're going to see people finally on their teams. Marcus Peters is one that I keep hearing rumored about coming to the Raiders. What do you guys think about that?
I'm down for it. I mean, he's proved himself, like, over the years. He might be a little bit, you know, on his way out, but, I mean, having that veteran leadership, I think, you know, will help out some of the younger guys.
Yeah, and he's got an edge to him, you know. I mean, he's from, if I'm not mistaken, he's from the town, right?
Yeah.
And is he the one that's cousins with Marshawn?
Yeah, and that, remember after the game, the two of them rode the BART all the way home, you know. And I think it's cool, like they're on opposing teams, but yeah, they're cousins, and you know, and he definitely has that that base swag to him.
I would love for him to come and finish his career just like Woodson did, and then just be a part of the Raiders. You know what I mean? Because they keep, once you play for the Raiders, they just keep you around. Doesn't matter who you are, if you played for the Raiders, you know, you're a member of the Raiders for life, except Randy Moss and Warren Snapp, Warren Snapp.
That's a good one.
Warren Sapp. Those two Those two guys don't get the Randy benefit Moss, of saying, yeah, Randy Moss is the worst. But he's gonna end up in the Hall of Fame, so you know you can't begrudge him that. At least he didn't win a playoff, or at least he didn't win a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
that's what he gets.
That's what he gets. Freaking Moss. What he you gets. Suck, Randy Moss.
Yeah, Randy Moss, you suck. All right, so let's start actually by kind of, you know, we had that whole podcast. I think it was episode 4. Where we talked about the Josh Jacobs situation, but it looks like Josh Jacobs is going to dig in his heels and continue to hold out, which means that he is not a fit. I mean, he hasn't signed his contract. They can't fine him because he didn't sign his contract. If he doesn't sign his contract, he is not a part of the team. So there, as it stands right now, there's no Josh Jacobs on the Raiders. Are we comfortable with what's going on? And what do you do? Like, I mean, I'll ask both of you guys. Do you sign him and hope that he continues to do what he does, even though, you know, McDaniels kind of rode him all year last year, you know, into the ground, really. And last year was what, his first year of not getting hurt and playing the whole season, you know? So what do you do? Do you sign him or do you let him go?
It was his prove it year, you know? He's been trying to get paid ever since last year. He's out there, everyone's, you know, he's got that shirt on, say, pay me.
I'm trying to remember the actual tweet that he had done, but he was like, pretty much, he's doing it for the people in the future, or, you know, pretty much for future running backs is who he's doing this for. And that comment makes me the most scared, you know, of actually like not thinking he's bluffing. You know, I think he's really trying to make this a movement type thing. You know, he's got, who's the other free agent that, Saquon Barkley on his back right now, you know, and, you know, those are two guys that I think that really want to take this on the head and try to make it a fair situation for these running backs. You know, me and Matt were talking earlier before we started today, just about, I mean, what would be the solution to this? You know, like, I don't think it's fair for these running backs. I don't see a college player wanting to be a running back if it just keeps moving this way, you know, because in the end, these guys, they love the game, but they need to make the most amount of money while they're in the NFL, you know, while they can for their families. And, you know, one thing I did see, which is pretty crazy, is I don't know if you've ever seen like NBA salaries compared to NFL salaries, and like the best NFL, like at their position. I had it actually. Let me pull it out really quick. Okay. So like, for instance, Christian McCaffrey, highest paid running back, 4 years, he's making $64 million, $30 million guaranteed. That's the highest of his position. Darren Waller just got paid over there by the Giants. 3 years, $51 million, $19.25 million guaranteed. Now this guy, Desmond Bane, and NBA's ninth highest scoring guard. He got 5 years, $207 million, $207 million guaranteed. Yeah. Like it's crazy. I didn't realize it was that big of a gap between NBA and NFL.
Well, and what's crazy is that in the NBA, if those guys get if their leg hurts, they pull themselves out of the game.
Exactly.
In the NFL, you're just getting beat, especially the running backs. I mean, that's the position where you get beat up the most.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what do you think? Like, do we pay Josh Jacobs or do we let him go?
I mean, it, you know,
and how much do you pay him?
If you exactly, because you're gonna set the bar at that point, and then it's gonna be the bar that every running back's gonna want. And I mean, look, like Le'Veon Bell, though, you know, he sat out the entire like season and didn't get paid,
and never came back.
Where is he? He's gone.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's a really good point. Yeah, I think I read somewhere that he was the last guy on a contract year to like lead the league in touches and basically get the rushing title. So he held out the whole season, never played. And when he came back, I think he signed with the Jets, and he just wasn't as good.
I wonder if Jacobs has talked to him, you know, like kind of reached out to him. Hey, look, I'm trying to do the same thing, because, you know, I think that'd be a good conversation for the two of them to have.
I think that Le'Veon Bell has kind of come out and said he kind of regrets holding out.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
It really ended up hurting him more than anything. He was the best back, dude. He was the guy.
Well, I mean, how do you pay? How do you do as a running back? How do you demand more than you're getting? When look around you at the league, you got Dalvin Cook being released, Ezekiel Elliott got released, Leonard Fournette got released. These are all major stars at the running back position. It just goes to show you that the league just does not and will not
value them.
That's just not going to happen.
But they're the first picked in fantasy.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to pick running back first this year. Honestly, I've learned my lesson. Dude, those running backs, they get hurt and then you're done. Like, the first pick is gone. You're but you know who never gets hurt? The wide receivers.
Yeah,
those guys play the whole season.
There's a lot of them.
The guy that won my league, I gave him shit too. It was his first year. And he's like, hey, you got any advice, you know, in the draft? I'm like, you know, I'm like trying to go for like a running back or maybe like a star receiver. You know, don't draft the quarterback just yet. he went out there and drafted Josh Allen right off the bat. And I was like, I told you not to do that. And he won the whole league.
you never know what will happen. You never know what will happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, one thing I like is incentive-based deals. You know, like, you don't know what you're going to get with the running back when their time is done. It happens so fast, and all of a sudden they're on the decline. But if you could put some incentives in there where you're like, you just keep proving to us that you're still worth something, then these incentives, you're going to get paid, and by the end you hit everything, you're going to get the money that you want because we're covered, you're covered, you know what I mean? You're actually earning the money. But I think that's kind of a running back gambling on themselves because they're like, well, I want to get paid, but what if I don't hit those numbers? You know what I mean? Which, hey, then we don't want to pay you the money that you want, you know? So I really like the incentive deals, you know? Hopefully Ziegler and McDaniels can come, you know, make something up. Hopefully it's going to be Ziegler, you know, come up with something real juicy, make it fair for everybody. Jacobs does deserve some money. He was, you know, the heart and soul of this team last year, and he proved it. So I think he deserves to get paid. Maybe not quite what he wants, but maybe something with like some front incentives or something around like $12 million a year or something.
I would say offer him a 2-year contract. But the problem is, once you sign him to a new deal, you want to keep him somewhat fresh because you just signed him to a new deal. So you can't, if you give him more money and then he gets hurt, you're screwed. You know what I mean? Whereas there's constantly guys coming in. I mean, they drafted Zamir White because they knew this thing was going to happen with Josh Jacobs. Now, yeah, as it stands right now, Zamir White isn't even close to Josh Jacobs. I mean, you watch Josh Jacobs' first year, that guy was incredible. He was making guys miss. He was squirting through holes. He was so hard to bring down. What do you say? Do you pay him or do you let him go and trade him? And they could potentially trade him.
You're going to get a lot of value if you trade him. But, I mean, he's the guy, man. Like, he was scoring the touchdowns last season. But then, you know, if you pay him, are you going to get the same results? Or is it going to be like, oh, I got paid now, I'm going to settle down a little bit here? Is it going to be the same Josh Jacobs?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think one of the things, though, if you do trade him, that means the other team's going to agree to what he wants to get paid, or like something, you know, at least come close to what he's expecting, you know? So you're going to have to find somebody else willing to pay that money. And I don't think any NFL team right now is, you know, and I think it's going to be a harsh reality that these running backs are going to figure out.
They keep running into it.
And even if you do trade him, like, let's say you go after like one of the free agents or something, you're going to have to pay him too. You know what I mean? So I'd rather pay the guy that's already been with our team, is cool with our players. You know what I mean? Like, and find a way to keep him is what I would like to do. You know, I don't know what the answer is, but I would like to keep Jacobs over here in the silver and black.
Yeah,
I think we would all like to see Jacobs stay with the Raiders. But the other hard part, though, is if he does finally sign his contract, or at least his franchise tag, and he becomes a free agent next year, imagine how heartbreaking it would be if he ended up with like the Chiefs or the Broncos.
I was just thinking that right now.
Over the Raiders.
Or takes the rushing titles 2 years in a row, and yeah, then he's like, later, guys.
Yeah, right. And then it doesn't matter what the Raiders offer him. You know, after this year, they're like, he's going to be like, okay, yeah, this is for making me play in the preseason like 2 years ago. I'm not signing with you assholes again. So I don't know, man. You know, what really hurt was, did you see that Instagram post where he like covered up the Raiders tattoo on his his leg?
Well, these guys use their social media for, you know, I mean, it's power moves, you know, in this whole negotiation process trying to get contracts, you know. That's why they tweet little cryptic things, you know. It's all, I mean, they might even be advised by their you know, their agents to be doing such things because they're trying to get these contracts or whatever. I mean, who knows?
It's hard to blame anybody for trying to get your money because, I mean, again, the shelf life, I always say it, the shelf life of a running back is like 5 years. So yeah, get your money when you can. And if somebody pays you, then that's cool. You know, I just don't do it. Just don't go to the Broncos, Chiefs, or Chargers.
Yeah, I swear.
I can't take that.
I mean, the ones that we named, Dalvin Cook and Josh Jacobs off the bat, how easy is it to find talent like that right now?
Well, Dalvin Cook's available. They can get
I'm just saying other players. These their teams obviously are banking on finding other people to just kind of fill their shoes. You know, I think Madison's over there with the Vikings, you know, and we got Zamir White, I think, is second in line right now. But it's like, I mean, is it that easy to find those great backs, you know? Because for a while, we didn't have one. I feel like it should be valued a little bit more. It's just their shelf life, you know? I mean, is what it is. But I don't know, man. This whole running back thing just, it blows my mind. I've said it before on this podcast. It's my favorite position. Like, I feel bad for these guys. You know, like, I don't know what the answer is, man. I hope the NFL, their agents, and the players can figure it out.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to. I really don't.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, the other thing would be like the injury thing. Like, sure, injury happens. You're out for a season. Tear your ACL, yeah. And sometimes you're not the same after that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's, I think, is that what happened with Zeke in Dallas, right? Like, they paid him a lot of money, and he was, like, the top paid running back, and then he, like, got hurt or he slowed down, and now they were like, dude, we...
Well, Pollard came in, you know, and they were like, hey, Zeke, we don't gotta... I mean, he was slowly starting to decline. I bet you when Zeke was in there, too, he was kind of, like, a little... I don't know. He doesn't seem like a very mature type cat where he was just kind of doing what he wants because he's Zeke Elliott, and eventually they're like, you can't do that anymore, dude. We got Pollard now.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to put up with your crap. You know, we're going to take Pollard. And you're not getting paid.
And Pollard's badass, dude.
You know, because why hasn't Zeke been picked up by anybody yet?
Exactly.
You
know, like, I don't think Zeke... Well, I mean, I don't want to say he's not going to,
but... He's not that guy, you know?
But, so if the Raiders do trade... Josh Jacobs. I mean, you know, we do have options. They could let Zamir White kind of battle it out with maybe Dalvin Cook or Leonard Fournette. And I was talking to Sean earlier about the connection that the Raiders have with Dalvin Cook. Our running back coach, Palomalu, was the running back coach in Minnesota with Dalvin Cook and led him to 3 years over 1,000 yards. So there's a connection there. And then Q was talking on the Locked On podcast about how Tom Brady, being, you know, a partial owner of the Raiders, he has a relationship with Leonard Fournette because of them playing in Tampa Bay. So there's a chance they could bring Fournette, and they won't bring in Zeke. That would be stupid,
no.
Right? We already have our old man running back.
But the thing is, you bring those guys in, you're probably going to still pay him what you would have just paid Josh Jacobs. You know what I mean? And I think they're all going to kind of expect the same amount. You know what I mean? Maybe Jacobs expects a little more coming off the rushing title first thing, you know, or whatever. But I mean, how much of a discount are you going to get? If your team has a chance to win the Super Bowl, you know, you're right there. Kelce was just kind of like, not to bring up Kelce because I hate Travis Kelce, but he was like, you know what? He's way underpaid for what he's doing, but he's like, I'm cool. I want to play here on this championship winning team. You know, and I think Jacobs came through and said the same thing. Like, if the Raiders were, you know, a championship winning football team, he would take the pay cut to just be on a good team. And right now it's like, is he feeling comfortable with Jimmy Garoppolo and having, you know, and all of a sudden the injury news come up and Jacobs is like, well, they're just going to try to run me into the ground. Yeah, I will get paid, you know? And so I don't know. Maybe Jacobs takes less money than what we offer him going and playing for one of these teams that are, you know, constantly like in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And he would take less, you know, and I think that'd be the first chess piece moved as far as these running backs are going to a team. You're going to see their contract. It's not going to be outrageous, but it's going to be a really good team that picked him up.
You know, I just have this horrible, horrible like feeling that Josh Jacobs is going to end up on the Broncos because they need a running back. They have none. You know, Sean Payton would turn Josh Jacobs into just a monster and we would have to deal with it. Dude, and he would play with so much extra juice against us.
Oh, yeah.
It would just be ridiculous. And we wouldn't be able to stop him because we don't have linebackers. But we'll get into that when we talk about the state of the defense. All right. Well, enough about the Josh Jacobs situation. We'll figure it out when it happens. I think it's July 17th. He's got to sign, you know, his contract or something like that.
Coming up.
The franchise tag. It's coming up. So I guess we'll see. That is a TBD, unfortunately. I hate that kind of stuff. You know, it's just like, oh, can we just not have our whole team? You know, I'm sick and tired of this drama. Speaking of drama, we had a little bit of, not to bring up Derek Carr.
I almost forgot about this.
Yeah, I know, right? I would love to forget about it. But apparently Derek Carr can't quit the Raiders. So he was speaking at a charity event, and one of the reporters asked him about his time with the Raiders or how it ended. And he came out with the whole, he said, oh, it wasn't even about the money. I would have played the last two games. You know, I wanted a chance to play in front of the fans or whatever. And then he mentioned that when they decided to bench him, he knew that his time with the Raiders was done. And so I think his wife cried about it. Right. And so he's like, well, once they made my wife cry, it was over. The relationship is done. And it's like, hey, bro, stop talking about the Raiders. You're a saint now. Okay. You know, I've seen, it's so irritating. I've seen fans on Twitter or Raider fans on the subreddits and stuff on the message boards that are like, well, I'm a fan of the Raiders and the Saints because I want Derek Carr. You know, it's like, what? No, dude, you can't be a fan of two teams, right? If you are a Derek Carr fan, then follow Derek Carr to the Saints and don't be a Raider fan. It's ridiculous, dude. That guy, he was a moderate okay quarterback for the Raiders for 9 years, right? He did just enough to keep us mediocre. He did not pull us up, so he's gone now.
Yeah.
Did you see they had a ranking that they posted? I think it was ESPN or somebody posted a ranking of quarterbacks in the red zone.
Oh yeah.
Do you know who was dead last? Old Derek Carr himself, dead last. You know, Jimmy G was actually pretty high.
Yeah, he was
yeah, like number four, right?
Yeah, and they did an EPA ranking, and Jimmy G was, I think, top five again.
It's the hardest part in the field and most important to be good at as a quarterback.
Yeah.
You want your quarterback to be up there, not dead last.
Well, exactly, because it's harder when you get close to the end zone because there's not that much field to work with. So you really have to be a smart quarterback. You have to make smart decisions. And you got to hang in the pocket because those guys are coming quick and they know you're passing. So Derek Carr is none of those things.
I mean, there's a reason Janikowski's like the highest scoring Raider because we never could get the touchdowns. We were always kicking field goals. I remember we'd get half the field mark and we were trying to kick it, you know. And look at Daniel Carlson. His career is shining right now because he's gotten so many opportunities to kick field goals. And he makes them, you know, because we just can't put the ball in the end zone for a touchdown. And it's really, really, really frustrating. About those Derek Carr comments, you know, on his way out of here, mum was the word. And I had imagined he had a lot of stuff he could have said, but it looked like he was taking the high road. I was like, cool. And then he got traded and it was done. I thought it was over. And so I was like, I kind of respected him. I'm a Derek Carr guy. I like him. You know what I mean? But now he's not on the Raiders, so I don't think about him anymore. You know, and it's kind of like, you know, your ex-girlfriend, you know, you guys both split up. You're in a new relationship and she's in a new relationship, but she's still like tweeting hate stuff on you or like still posting stuff about you. And you're like, haven't you moved on? Like, I'm in this new relationship. You got your thing. Like, why are you even thinking about me? And that's the way I thought about this Derek Carr comment. I was like, come on, man. Like, now you're going to say stuff. Like, and now I was like, maybe they forced it out or maybe they didn't. But I was like, you didn't have to say anything. If you're going to just be quiet about it, just be quiet about
How hard would it have been for him to go? You know what? I'm really just focused on the Saints right now, and the next season I'm going to put the past behind me. And I appreciate my time with the Raiders. How easy would it? And if he had done that, he would have gotten more respect from. But you know what he did? You're right. He didn't say anything. He had his brother and his nephew go on a podcast and talk all the shit about the Raiders. Right. So I don't respect that at all.
Yeah.
Like Derek Carr didn't say anything. He had his brother say stuff. He's not. He is soft on and off the field. I'm going to say that. And Raider Nation, if you're a huge Derek Carr fan, you're like, I don't know. This podcast is really tearing into him. Sean likes him. So
I like at least him.
Half of Down with the Ship is in support. So, you know. And then, of course, those of you that can't stand Derek Carr, you're on my side. So, you know, we run the gamut.
We got it all. Where does Mark stand?
Yeah.
I mean, he couldn't get us the ring, dude. I mean, and the both times that we did get to the 2016 season, there's so much hope there. It was awesome.
His best season as a Raider.
And then he broke
Then he broke his back.
That's where a lot of these Derek Carr fans come from. They're like, well, that season, you know, that was the season. How did he not broken his leg?
Or his leg.
We put it on tape.
We might have won it, you know, which would have been monumental for him. But since he hasn't been able to prove it since then, you know, and he had actually made another comment, I think I saw like a couple weeks ago too, where he's still talking about the Raiders. Yeah, I've yet to hear him talk about the Saints at all.
Yeah,
he's
right.
He's like, you know, last season I just feel bad. I felt like, you know, I wasn't giving it my all. It wasn't like I wasn't like at my full potential last season.
So he's the ex-girlfriend that got a new boyfriend that she don't even like.
I don't know. Do you guys see Josh Jacobs going to the Saints? And play? I know they got Kamara over there, but like, I don't know, dude.
I don't know.
They're different running backs.
They're definitely starting to turn into the Raiders 2.0, are they not?
Yeah, seriously. I swear to you, that's where Hunter Renfrow is going to get traded. I know he hasn't been traded yet, but I don't know. I still feel like he's not going to be. That's a good transition. So let's talk about the state of the offense. We're going to go through the depth chart, each one of the positions, the guys that we have there. What we think about those, you know, our reviews and what could or should potentially happen. I feel like there's still an opportunity for the Raiders to sign some of these later, like you had mentioned, Marcus Peters. There's a chance for them to sign some of these free agents that are still available. And some teams are maybe going to cut guys, you know, and the Raiders could pick up some other players. But as it stands, we'll call this the state of the offense in July. You know, early July, of course, everything's fluid and it could change. So let's start with the quarterback position. And so the Raiders released an unofficial depth chart, and we have, as the starter, Jimmy G. Backup is Brian Hoyer. Did you guys see that? Did you guys see that photo of the Raiders quarterbacks and Brian Hoyer looked like Skeletor or like just some...
No.
Dude, he looks so haggard. So people were like, oh, dude, why did the Raiders do that to Brian Hoyer? Dude? He seriously looks like a... Brian Hoyer looks like a dude that was like a recovering drug addict.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
you got the wrinkles, dude, the tired eyes, the bags.
Exactly, dude. He looked horrible. And I'm like, oh, you guys are really going to roll with this guy? And then of course Rod Farva as our third string quarterback, Aiden O'Connell. I know that there are some Chase Garber fans out there, some Raider fans that think Chase Garber is going to be something, but that he's a fourth string quarterback. He won't even be on the team, dude. They'll put him on the practice squad, you know, kind of like a project. But I'll start, and honestly, I'm a little bit more optimistic about Jimmy G, I think, than you guys probably are. I've watched a lot of YouTube clips of him, and you look at the rankings, the EPA ranking, the efficiency ranking, the fact that the guy stands in the pocket and takes hits, you know, he doesn't get happy feet like Derek Carr does. I mean, if he can stay healthy, he's a good quarterback. You know, he's won playoff games. He's out-dueled Patrick Mahomes. He's out-dueled, he out-dueled Drew Brees. Like, he's got some moxie to him. It's just, is he going to be ready? And the Raiders seem to think he'll be ready. Jimmy G seems to think he'll be ready. So maybe he'll be ready. But I'm actually optimistic. I just don't like what we got behind Jimmy G. You know?
Yeah, should he get hurt, which is a pretty... You know, that could very well happen. I mean, like, you look at Jimmy G, he brought the San Francisco 49ers back from just being complete shit. Like, they weren't a team to really be worried about for a few years. Like, you're like, oh, San Francisco. Yeah, like, great defense. But even then, like, they weren't getting anywhere. They weren't anywhere near the playoffs for a couple years. I remember being like, yeah, I'm not really picking anybody up off the Niners. But then, you know, Jimmy G went out there, started winning them games. And I know that I have a lot of Niners friends that are like, they're like, damn, you know, a little bit sad that we got rid of Jimmy G. But...
Well, I got Matt Huggett, my buddy Matt Huggett. He's a huge Niners fan, and he hated Jimmy G.
Yeah,
he's like, dude, that guy is gonna throw an interception at the worst possible time, and we just don't understand why he does anything that he does. I think there was a play where they were deep in their own end zone, and he took the hike, and he like went back to pass, and he actually went out of bounds.
Oh yeah, I remember that play. I totally remember that.
And so I think they called it a safety. So, you know, he's really good sometimes, but he makes really boneheaded decisions sometimes. But
known for giving up the football?
Nah.
I thought he was known for his accuracy.
He's known for his accuracy. He's highly accurate. His bread and butter is the midfield.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean? So, like, he's going to throw to his tight ends. He's going to throw to his running backs. He's going to throw a lot of, you know, hitches and slants and stuff like that. He's not going to throw the bomb. He can, but it's not as accurate as maybe Derek.
He ain't
going
to run the ball either, is he?
He's definitely not going to run the ball. Yeah. The dude's a statue. So for me, I would say the quarterback position for the Raiders would get a C, I think, because, again, Jimmy G's great, or not great, he's good. He's serviceable. I think he can win us games. I just don't like what we have behind him. And, of course, I was thinking, well, they could sign Cam Newton. I mean, Cam Newton was with McDaniels in New England for that 1 year, but I guess that relationship wasn't really good, and Cam Newton didn't do very well.
Yeah,
so there's no way that's going
to
happen.
I'm really hoping Aiden O'Connell steps up to the plate and over camp and ends up taking this second position from Brian Hoyer, you know, and maybe having Brian Hoyer as third, you know, and then having Aiden O'Connell on the move up, you know. A healthy Jimmy G, I'm cool with it. You know, I want to see him on the field first. You know, it's mm-hmm. been a while since he's been in the NFL because he got hurt. You know, was it like towards the middle of last season, or I can't remember when he got hurt. It's been a while, but here he is. Hasn't done really much with the Raiders. Obviously, he's there for everything they've been doing, but we haven't seen him on the field yet. You know, and until he's on the field making some passes and developing like just that repertoire with Davante Adams, and you just start seeing in action, then I'm going to start getting excited. But like, I haven't seen him on the field yet. And if he's there for camp, he better be, then I'll be excited and I'll be comfortable with him until he gets hurt. You know what I mean? Like with the O-line, which we'll talk about later, I think we could protect him. And as long as he gets the ball out quick, which is what he does, we have plenty of receivers that he'll be able to throw to. And if we can keep Jacobs in, we also have that two-headed monster, you know, with the running back. But that's in a perfect world. But in the end, I would like Aiden O'Connell to really show me something. He's the one I'm most excited about to see, you know, exactly what we got in him. You know, I mean, obviously there's been some hype, you know, from Hondo, because Hondo, yeah, he knows it all. But, you know, that's my biggest thing during camp. I'd like to see Aiden O'Connell take that second position from Brian Hoyer. And then, I mean, who knows? Maybe Chase Garber ends up getting Hoyer out of there too. But I think with Hoyer's just like familiarity with the system, they're going to keep him in there as a teacher, almost like a second quarterback's coach or something like that, which I'm okay with, you know. So
yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
That's how I feel about the quarterbacks is, I mean, I'm good with Jimmy G, but I want to see him out there, you know. And once he starts practicing, then I'm not gonna slander him. I'm gonna just hope that he does good, you know. Like, we need him to.
Yeah, I'm gonna say he does good.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean,
would you guys pick him in fantasy?
I mean, we'll see when the time comes.
Backup quarterback. If he's,
yeah, in a super flex, I'll probably have
for that bye week or something.
Do you draft a backup quarterback in fantasy?
Sometimes. You don't draft one, but I mean, it's nice to have one for that bye week.
Yeah, you can pocket one, you know, and just kind of if you want to be a dick and just like,
or you're not sure about your team.
Jimmy G has so many weapons. I mean, our skill guys on offense are fantastic. Like, you have to say Devontae Adams and Jacoby Myers have to be one of the top 5 1-2 punches in wide receivers in the whole league.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, let's transition then to the running back position. Obviously, we've talked about Josh Jacobs exhaustively, but let's look at the rest of the guys. We got Zamir White second, and then behind him, Amir Abdullah, Brandon Bolden, Britton Brown, Austin Walter, and Sincere McCormick. I would wager that Austin Walter and Sincere McCormick are probably not going to be guys that are going to make much of a splash. So let's talk about the other four. That's Britton Brown, Brandon Bolden, Amir Abdullah, and Zamir White. I don't think that Brandon Bolden makes the team this year. I think they brought him in last year as kind of a transition. He's the older one, right, of those guys. So I think he's on his way out. I think they'll bring Britton Brown up. Britton Brown, of course, is the guy that we drafted in the 7th round last year after drafting Zamir White. So they're like, dude, why are the Raiders drafting 2 running backs? Well, they drafted 2 running backs last year because they were preparing for this Josh Jacobs situation. I don't think that McDaniels and Ziegler saw Jacobs as exploding like he did last year, you know, and getting the rushing title. I think that they thought he was probably going to be maybe top 10, but definitely not number one.
That's why they played him in preseason.
Exactly. Yep. So I guess the hope is that Zamir White kind of makes a big leap here in year two. And Amir Abdullah, I think, is their third down back. You know, he's got good hands. He scored some last year, so he'll have the same.
Yeah. Veteran presence.
He's a good receiving back.
Yep, he is. And so I think that you're looking at Josh Jacobs first, Zamir White second, and then Amir Abdullah third down back, and maybe Britton Brown coming in to spell Zamir White. Or if Josh Jacobs doesn't play, then, you know, Zamir White and Britton Brown are going to be the 1-2 punch, you know. And let's not forget that McDaniels, as an offensive coordinator, does not have a he doesn't ride one quarterback. He'll play different
running back.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. He doesn't use just one running back. Like, every game, that's why you don't draft New England Patriot running backs in fantasy, because you never know
which one
is going to play what game.
Well, that was why I don't know who picked up Josh Jacobs towards the end of last, you know, but that's what we, before the season, that's what we expected. We're all, don't pick Jacobs. There's going to be 3 guys. You're not going to know which guy to use. And what ended up happening is Jacobs ended up being so good, they couldn't take the ball out of his hand, you know? And it's weird, because if we don't have Jacobs, then maybe we get more into that 3-back kind of like, you know, play that that Josh McDaniels is into or whatever. I expect the running back situation to just be anybody's game this offseason. You know, I expect all of them to go in, compete. I don't know who's going to take the job. I don't even think Zamir White's a lock for second, you know, or to take the prime position if Jacobs doesn't show up. You know, all of a sudden you might end up with, you know, maybe Britton Brown or Brandon, maybe even Brandon Bolden, just for the experience for a little bit until, I don't know. It's going to be, you're going to see probably all of those guys play in preseason this season.
Most definitely.
You know, and you're going to try to figure out who's going to earn their way up there until this Josh Jacobs thing gets figured out, you know? Yeah. And that's probably, that's a good point, Matt. Probably why, you know, there's the Raiders are dragging their feet on signing Josh Jacobs, because you know what? That's not even what McDaniels wanted to do in the first place. So we all know how pompous he is in wanting to get what he wants. His system is a 3 running back system. You know what I mean? And he's like, how dare you be a good just 1 running back? You know what I mean? So, I mean, we'll see what happens with that. I think running back room is anybody's game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Zamir White, I liked what I saw in, you know, the little bit that we saw him last year. He didn't pick up much yardage, but he has a lot of power and drive to his game. And he's a young guy, you know, trying to get paid. He's out there. It's his second year now.
I mean, his nickname is Zeus.
Zeus, man.
you know, he broke a few away. You know, it wasn't like anything crazy, but he did break a few, you know, away, and he showed some good vision out there on the field, like, you know, getting in between, like, tackles and stuff.
Yeah,
so, I mean, the potential is there. It's just he needs the opportunity.
Yeah. I haven't seen any, like, star aspect.
Yeah, that's what it is. There's no star aspect. He's just a solid running back.
And that's what I'm saying. Is there a bunch of these running backs with all these star aspects that you know, people like Josh Jacobs and Cook can't get their deal?
Well,
like,
let me ask you this. Who's the running back in Kansas City?
Pacheco.
Would you call him a star?
I don't think so.
Would you call him just a solid running back?
He's just a solid running back. But you have when you have a quarterback like freaking Mahomes, you know, he kind of running back is second thought, maybe third thought.
A lot of the running backs are receiving backs, like McKinnon, and then look like but they had Clyde Edwards-Helaire too, and like he's
like if we had Josh Allen, I'd feel comfortable.
I don't even think he's on the Chiefs anymore, right? Yeah,
if we had Josh Allen, I'd feel comfortable with Zamir White or, you know, like some decent running backs behind you, you know, or whatever. But
yeah. All right. Well, then I'd say with Josh Jacobs, the Raiders running back position is probably like a solid B plus. You know, obviously a higher score for Jacobs because he's badass and a lower score for the unproven rest of the depth chart. But without Josh Jacobs, our running back position is probably going to be another C. Yeah.
I'm saying C minus. It's like... Just too much unexpected. I mean, you got Sincere McCormick in there.
Yeah, I don't even know who that is. All right. Of course, fullback, Jakob Johnson. I mean, the guy's awesome. There's a reason they brought him over. He's one of the reasons Josh Jacobs got the rushing title. That guy is damn a straight bruiser. He opens up lanes. He's exactly what you want in a fullback. So A there for a fullback.
Who was our old fullback?
It was that kid that went to Miami.
Yeah.
I forgot his name.
He made some good plays for us. I totally forgot his name too. He had that one run where he hurdled. He took off and
he was good. And
Alec Ingold.
Yeah, Alec Ingold. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, when Alec Ingold left the Raiders, I was bummed. I really loved him as a dynamic player. You know, he wrote that whole letter, you know, during like the playoffs or something to the city and whatever. He had heart. He seemed like a really decent guy, a hard worker. And I didn't know. I was like, what are you doing, letting him go? But when Jakob Johnson came in and just killed it, it really made me quickly forget Alec Ingold. But that's how this business is, you know. NFL's not for long, and that's what it is. So
I tell you I'm what, dude. Back in the late '90s, the Raiders had a running back or a fullback. Do you remember John Ritchie?
No.
Oh my God, dude. He was our fullback, and he would play in every single game. He would get cut in his forehead, and he would bleed. And so every game you'd see his face and it would just be all bloody and you're like, dang.
Like a Nate Diaz fight. His face just got so much like.
But all he did was smash fools. Like he was such a great running back or fullback. And so I think Jakob Johnson's a little bit like that.
Yeah.
Very happy with that position.
Yeah. Fullback lock.
Speaking of happy with the position, let's talk about our wide receiver room. Next, I love our wide receiver room. So our, you know, first string, of course, is Davante Adams. And on the other side, the number two is Jacoby Myers. I think that they've got to be in the top five for 1-2 wide receivers in the league. Jacoby Myers doesn't score a lot of touchdowns, but he doesn't drop balls. And he's just Mr. Reliable. And of course, behind them, we've got Hunter Renfro as the slot guy for now. DeAndre Carter, Keelan Cole, Trey Tucker, who they drafted in this draft, I think in round 4. Philip Dorsett, Cam Sims, DJ Turner, Chris Lacy, and Christian Wilkerson, and all of those dudes are pretty decent. I would say that I would give the wide receiver room an A because there's a lot of those dudes that we have at number 4 and 5 that would be like 2 and 3 on other teams' depth charts. What do you guys think?
I think it's definitely the strongest position on the team completely, you know, with all these different people that are on there. Davante Adams is always going to be Davante Adams. My biggest thing is you got to keep him happy, which means you got to stay competitive. You know, like Davante Adams is not at the point in his career where he just wants to get paid. He still wants to play at a high level and he wants to play on a good team. So we got to keep him happy. Jacoby Myers is a huge blessing. You know, he already knows McDaniel's system. He's got the sure hands. You can use him on the inside, outside. I mean, it's just an all-around like Swiss Army knife. You know, and Philip Dorsett's another. He's another Patriot, right?
Yep,
that's another Patriot, you know. So I mean, obviously McDaniels is bringing in his guys to run the system. How many receivers do you think we'll keep? You know, like what's
probably
typical?
Just five.
Five of them.
Yeah.
So there's gonna be some hard cuts.
I would say Davante Adams, Jacoby Myers, Hunter Renfro, DeAndre Carter for sure.
For sure.
Philip Dorsett and maybe Trey Tucker because you just got him.
Yeah, he's already signed to a contract. Yep. So it'd be cool if Trey Tucker really steps it up. Or, I mean, maybe at least he's our return guy, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think that's why they drafted him that
high.
Yeah,
that'd be awesome, man, to finally get some wheels there. But I definitely feel wide receiver is the strongest position right now. I like to hold on to Hunter Renfro, you know? Davante on the outside, Jacoby on the outside, and Hunter in the slot. Get off me, man. You know what I mean? Like that's a killer lineup right there. If it's a top three, or if I think we would be top five at this position if it was the, you know, three receivers out of, on your team, you know, for sure.
Yeah.
We're one of the best.
Yeah.
Marky, what do you think?
I'd say we almost have that, like, three-star in there. I mean, that I was stoked on the Carter pickup, absolutely. He killed it last season on the Chargers. And, I mean, hopefully, you know, I mean, that was another big speculation. It's like, what's gonna happen with Hunter Renfrow? You know, are we going to keep him? Is he going to go? But it doesn't seem like anybody's really willing to, like, pay his price.
And yeah, last I heard is there hasn't been any offers to get Hunter Renfrow.
Well, I mean, he's awesome. He's a great route runner. But look how small he is, dude. He gets hit once, it's concussion time. We already talked about that.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You know, he's just – he's great, but he just doesn't have the size. And you know, I don't know. I thought he was going to be like these – you know those great slots that the Patriots always had? You know, I thought he was going to be like that. And maybe he still could be. You know, who knows?
Well, if something happens to Hunter, you know, we shift Jacoby maybe into the slot, and then hopefully – what if Trey Tucker picks it up as the wheels on the outside, man? That would be a really cool switch up too,
man. A deep threat.
Yeah, you know, hopefully – that
Adams, you know, can do it all as well.
Yep.
But I think just it's going to be hard to cover us, you know. It's going to be nice to – because, you know, they two-man Adams, you know, covered Myers, then you got that slot. Or maybe they're worried about the slot, and then we can with that deep cut. And it's
there's a
lot of different variating like plays that we can do with our current lineup.
Well, let's not forget the tight end too as an option.
Yeah, there you go.
That'll take us to the tight end position here.
Okay, so our tight end,
which I like,
depth chart right now as it stands, and it's only because he was drafted this, you know, in this past draft. But they have Austin Hooper as the one,
came from the Rams.
Yep, and then they got Michael Mayer as the two. And then as the third string on the depth chart, they got O.J. Howard, Jesper Horsted, Cole Fotheringham, and John Samuel Schenker. I don't think those last two guys are going to do much at all. I
haven't heard much about them.
No,
not yet. I mean, we'll see once training camp starts.
I will say I had heard that the Raiders had high hopes for Jesper Horsted too. So that's four guys that could potentially, you know, O.J. Howard is known for mostly his blocking. Austin Hooper is not as much of a blocker, but he's a pass catcher. And then supposedly Michael Mayer is all of the things.
Yeah. It's interesting to have Michael Mayer already ahead of the veteran O.J. Howard. I know he's a lot older, but I mean, O.J. has put more on tape, obviously, because he's played. But they already got Michael Mayer already up in that number two spot.
Oh, dude.
And I know you can't really – this is not the end-all, be-all right here on these depth charts, but still, it's interesting.
I would say that Michael Mayer is probably going to be the number one.
I hope so, man. Absolutely. I want him to be that. You know, the younger you can build your team, the better, you know, and that would be amazing.
We got a really good draft grade on that pick, too. Like, he was kind of, you know, people were eyeballing him, and we need that younger tight end. You know, Austin Hooper's obviously up there now. I had him on my fantasy back in the day when he was on the Falcons. He was really good over there, and even though they were not doing too hot.
Yeah.
Are you guys low key thinking Michael Mayer on your bench of your fantasy teams?
Man, if I could have picked him up in my rookie draft, in my dynasty league, that'd be nice to have.
That would have been a good pick.
Because tight ends are always hard to find, you know what I mean?
Especially a tight end that gets a lot of balls.
He gets the points. Yeah. Exactly. You know, that's why everybody grabs, you know, the Mahomes, or not the Mahomes, but the Kelseys and the freaking Knoxes and the
Kittles.
The Kittles and... I mean, the Wallers. The Wallers. Straight up. I had him just, like,
dude,
rotting on my bench.
Yeah, he didn't do squat last year.
He screwed me.
I picked him high, too.
Yeah.
I must have been.
Yeah, I must have been high. All right. So for the tight ends, I would say that I would give our tight ends an A, too, because, again, Austin Hooper and O.J. Howard, those are starting tight ends, and Michael Mayer should be. And so I'd say, you know, there's potential to do two tight end sets with Austin Hooper on one side, Michael Mayer on the other, if they want to go that route.
Keep O.J. for those blocking, you know, extra line.
Keep O.J. for the extra line blocking for running plays. Yep. Although, potentially, you don't want to tip your plays off by the tight end that you bring in.
Yeah.
So that's what makes Michael Mayer so valuable, because he blocks and he can catch passes. So, like, you put him in, it's like, are the Raiders going to block? Are they going to, you know?
That was one of the problems with Waller, because he didn't block. So he knew that he wasn't going to be in
horrible.
There for
that. Horrible blocker.
He's going down
man.
For a pass.
Horrible blocker. All right. So, yeah, tight ends A.
I'm liking it.
Yeah. All right. So now let's look at the offensive line. We'll go over our starters first. We got Colton Miller, starting left tackle. Starting left guard is Dylan Parham. Center, Andre James. Right guard, Alex Bars. And the right tackle is Jermaine Illuminor. Jermaine Illuminor had a kind of a decent season last year.
Yeah, he had a lot to prove, you know, and he had posted about it, and he worked hard, and I'm proud of the work he put in, and he looked good. I'm glad we kept him.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, Colton Miller's the rock. You know, he's the veteran on the team now. He's been on the team longer than I think anybody else on the team, which is crazy to me, because I remember when he got drafted, I wasn't necessarily stoked, but he's really turned into one of the best left tackles in the entire league.
Was that the Gruden Mayock pickup,
Colton Miller? That was their first pick. Yeah, that was Colton Miller.
It's a good one, man. I mean, I'm happy. He's one of my favorite Raiders, to be honest. He's a great guy and just a great leader out there. And he's just that big, huge, like solid, like left freaking tackle that you want.
You know where he's from?
Where?
Roseville, California. You know where that is? It's right over there by Grass Valley.
Oh, really?
Yep.
I like him even more now. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep. Like him even... Hey, shout out to Grass Valley.
Yeah, shout out to Grass Valley, and shout out to the Lunsfords in Grass Valley. They're probably listening to this podcast because they listen to them all. Yeah. So, shout out to you guys. We'll be seeing you soon, hopefully.
Yeah, a week.
Yep. All right. And then, of course, at left guard, Dylan Parham going into his second season. And, dude, how valuable is it that he started all year last year?
Just getting that experience, you know. And did he play any at center at all last year?
He did. I think they moved him in a few times. But
I love that he does that, too, which is what McDaniels wants, right? Yep. All the linemen have to be able to move around, you know. And I think Dylan Parham is, like, the definition of that so far. And as a rookie and a young guy, I'm real excited about him.
Yep. And then, of course, Andre James, who, you know, I was just telling the guys here, it's interesting that I think they drafted Andre James at the end I think Andre James might have been a free agent pick, like one of those priority free agent pickups, wasn't even drafted. But for some reason, they traded away
Hudson,
they just gave the job to Andre James and said, and then signed him to an extension.
Do you remember when James started too? He was doing terrible. Oh, he was flubbing balls and like, dude, I was worried.
He was rock solid this year.
Yes,
he was rock solid.
He really stepped it up.
He stepped it
absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely.
Now, I'll tell you the weak link.
I didn't even think he was going to survive the season. I thought eventually Parham would have gotten moved to center, I didn't think we were going to bring him back.
I think most people did.
Yep.
Yeah. Of course, the weak link on the line, and, you know, no disrespect, Alex Bars, you're a big man, and I'm sure that you would, you know, whoop my ass. But Alex Bars we have to get a replacement for Alex Bars, man. That guy was just a turnstile last year. So who knows? I know just looking at some of the significant backups, the Raiders, they picked up Natane Muti from Denver. And I remember the Broncos fans were kind of pissed off that they let him go because he had some potential. So maybe he steps up at right guard. Of course, Brandon Parker, you remember Brandon Parker got hurt last year. He was supposed to be our starting right tackle and he got hurt. So, you know, maybe he steps up and, you know, and there's a good competition there at right tackle. There's also Thayer Munford. That guy is huge. He had a pretty decent go last year. So I'm happy with our offensive line. We were actually, either top 10 or just outside of the top 10 at like 11 or something for offensive line. And that's here. We were sitting here, not recording, obviously, the podcast, but we were sitting here talking about the Raiders at the in July of last year, and everybody was wringing their hands about how horrible our offensive line was going to be and what, you know, what's going to happen. But they ended up overachieving and being really solid.
Well, one of the biggest things for us was you still had Carr back there, and you're like, Carr, he needs more time. We need. It's like what is it? Lando Calrissian, man. We need to give him more time. You know, it's like Carr needs like 30 seconds back there. Yeah. You know, so that's why we were worried about the O line. You know, like because Carr held onto the ball.
Yeah.
You know, and with make those dumb decisions. But, I mean, you know, you saw Card not get hit as much as he had anticipated. And, you know, and I don't know. I was pretty impressed with what our offensive line
they
did.
They did give him time. They gave him a lot of time. And, you know, considering Jimmy G, he's a very, you know, pocket kind of passer. We're still going to need that time, you know, for him to make the right move.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mark.
Oh, no.
Greg Van Rotten, didn't we pick him up from Buffalo or something like that?
I think
I don't know if we had picked him up from both. I don't know. I'm wondering if he is able to move from left guard to right guard. You know what I mean?
I mean, potentially.
Or something like that. Just having experience if Alex Bars doesn't go good. It's my biggest question right there. And I'm not sure who Natane Muti is or if I
Well, Muti is the guy that they got from Denver. They picked him off their practice squad. And I know, like I had said, like the Broncos fans were kind of pissed that they let him go. I'll tell you some other standouts for me, some unknowns, but could be, you know, that we mentioned that Hronis Grasu guy. That guy's huge. And you know who else is huge? Dalton Wagner. That dude that was picked up, I was watching a scouting film of our who's the guy that we drafted in the first round this last year, defensive end.
Tyree Wilson.
Yeah. So I was watching a YouTube clips of Tyree Wilson going up against Dalton Wagner, and Dalton Wagner literally, it was like a, like held him to a standstill. Like he, like sometimes Tyree Wilson got the best of him, but sometimes Dalton Wagner got the best of him, and that guy went undrafted. And so the Raiders picked him up. He's a monster. And if you're a left tackle that is holding off a dude that gets a defensive end that gets drafted in the first round, how did you not get drafted?
6'9", 331 pounds.
Dude, 6'9", that is ridiculous, dude. That's like the mountain Dalton from Wagner. Game of Thrones, dude. That guy's the freaking monster, dude.
Yeah, that's exciting. I'd like to find that tape, man. That's really exciting.
Yeah, that's really cool. You should check it out. It's like Tyree Wilson. Actually, if you just Google Tyree Wilson and Dalton Wagner, you'll see.
I mean, they have him right there as left tackle. Obviously, that's Colton Miller's position. So will he even get a chance to see the field, or can he move to the right?
Maybe they'll move him to the right. Even Justin Heron is another guy that I think that they brought over that the Raiders have high hopes for. So our offensive line, I would give it an A-, B+. You know what
it's
I mean?
Pretty good.
It's pretty good. I wouldn't call it a solid strength, but I would say it's solid. And it's not going to be the reason why the Raiders lose games this year.
The big thing that you want with that O-line is the depth. You know, you'd like to have some fresh legs out there and always be switching people up and have your depth just as good as your first stringers, you know. So I'm seeing the first stringers looks really good. I'm seeing some potentials as far as second stringers, you know. So, I mean, I'm going to give it like a B. You know, I'll give it maybe a B, B minus, just for the fact that I know McDaniels likes to, you know, switch guys in and out, and starters look good, but let's see what happens at training camp and you know, with the competition with these guys. You know, if we can get a nice solid second string, oh, you better watch out.
Absolutely.
And that might be a reason for Josh Jacobs to sign a contract when he starts seeing the O-line looking a lot better. You know, that's something you know, usually these running backs, you know, Christmas time, they're buying their offensive linemen freaking Segways and stuff or whatever the hell.
I mean, that lineup did solid last year. Like, that's a lot of the reason why, like, you know, Josh Jacobs took the rushing yard.
Yep.
And, you know, they gave him the holes. They held it down, held it together.
You're absolutely right. I think that is one thing that Alex Barrs did do well was his run blocking. Like, that they're just, the Raiders are solid at run blocking, and so Josh Jacobs was able to get, you know, major holes. So, you know, who knows? Maybe that's part of why Jacobs did so well, and maybe, you know, with a little bit more time and to gel, maybe Zeus can do the same thing.
That'd be great. But either way, happy about the offense right now. I mean, just going down, it definitely looks like we got some things happening. You know, as long as Garoppolo gets out there and we keep Davante Adams happy, and I would like to keep Hunter Renfro, and let's try to pay Josh Jacobs. You know, if all those things can happen, we're looking good.
Yeah. I think we can all agree, Raider Nation, the offense is pretty good. It's not going to be the reason we lose this year. You know, it could overperform everybody's expectations. You know, it's literally, the linchpin is Jimmy G. If he comes out and he does well, then the offense will do well. And if he gets hurt, or God forbid we have to start Brian Hoyer, it ain't gonna happen.
Well, Jimmy G, in order for him to do well, I would say he needs a pretty good defense behind him, which is what the San Francisco had at all times, you know. And the next podcast we'll end up talking about the defense, you know, or whatever, and see what we got there, because that's a position that needed to get, it had most room for improvement. It's the position, or that's the defense position is what we also drafted the most. You know, we knew that it needed the biggest change. And, I mean, next podcast that we do, we'll go through all those players and, you know, and see what kind of defense that Jimmy G's going to have this year.
Yeah, it's definitely not going to be the Niners defense, I'll tell you that much. All right, well, I guess that'll do it for us then. You know, we went over the offense. We talked about the Josh Jacobs situation as it stands now on July 5th. And, of course, we started by celebrating Al Davis. But we once again appreciate the support. Those of you guys who have found us on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, we're also on Spotify Podcasts. Basically, anywhere you can find podcasts, you can find us here at Down With The Ship. We would also like to remind you guys that we have somewhat of a social media presence. We are at DWTS Raiders on Twitter and Instagram. So if you want to find us there, add us, ask us some questions, give us some feedback about what's going on, that would be much appreciated. And we just really want to interact with you guys anyways, because again, you know, this podcast is growing up, or is growing up. This podcast is growing up. it can buy alcohol now. No, this podcast is growing. I would like to interact with some of the people that have been, you know, tuning in and listening to us and kind of really start a Down With The Ship community. So if you guys could reach out, that would be fantastic. We would much appreciate it. But yeah, so I guess we'll call it. This podcast went a little bit longer. They all go long, apparently. But again, this has been Maddie Mayhem, and we want to thank our guest podcaster today, Marco John.
Marco Cholo. Anarchy Marky.
Anarchy Marky. Otherwise known as Marco Cholo.
We want to thank our guest podcaster, Anarchy Marky, a.k.a. Marco Cholo.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just another reminder, we are back, though. We had a big gap between the pods, but we're going to be back full force, you know, all the way into training camp.
Oh, yeah.
Just keep, you know, we were trying to be weekly. We're going to keep trying to be weekly.
Yeah, most definitely.
And it'll take us right into training camp, man. And we're almost there, guys.
Yeah.
We're almost there.
Just a few more weeks
left. There's
going
to be
Raider
football
Nation
games next month.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy.
All right. Well, once again, we want to thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. This is Maddie Mayhem speaking for Sean Carnage and Anarchy Marky signing off. We'll see you later.
Peace out. Peters. Oh.